PSM, COR, changing our reality. I want to welcome everyone back to this episode of PSM. I want to thank everyone that has listened. I want to thank everyone that has shared. And I want to thank everyone that supports. For the message of the Prodigal Son's ministry is to just that, to the prodigals. We're not here to represent the ideology or the thinking of the multitude. PSM is not dedicated to building up those or individuals that have deemed that they've made it. But PSM, COR, is geared toward and a ministry for those that have come to themselves, for those who have taken the time to look back over life, some of the decisions they've made, some of the choices they've made, the things that they've allowed to affect their lives, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. But they have taken time to come to themselves. They have recognized that I am where I am because of my choices. Now let a PSM restate that in the understanding that we have. For someone to recognize that they are where they are, whatever they may find themselves, whatever, and when I speak of it, I'm speaking emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Wherever you find yourself, do not be angry. Do not despise the road that you've traveled. Learn from it. Don't judge your journey as if you're the school teacher, but judge your journey as if you're someone who walked it. See, along the way in our lives, we've picked up habits. We've picked up ideas. We've picked up ideology. We've picked up beliefs along that way. But when you look back over your life, you can now recognize where certain principles or things should have been applied. But because of your lack of maturity, because of your need to go through to get a better understanding in God's eyes, in your ultimate life purpose scenario, you had to go through it to be able to look back and recognize it was nothing within yourself. It was just a circumstance. It was just a lack of maturity. It was just falling for the scam. It was something that happened. And when scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. When you look back over your life, those things that led you or caused you to miss the mark, hence the real definition of sin, the missing of the mark, you can look back and try to correct them. Not just for yourself, but for the others that will travel the road that you travel. And ultimately, should God in his wisdom and his grace and in his mercy allow you to face it again, you will be fully equipped, ready to conquer those giants that once messed up your life or caused you hurt, harm, discomfort. PSM, COR, changing our reality. Because all of us bring something to the table. None of us bring the complete package to the table, but all of us bring some parts to the table. And here is what I share. After, you know, so many years, and I'll use a number, over 30 years, 25, 30 years, let's use those numbers. There are some things that you've learned in life. Being One, just a man. Two, a husband. Three, a father. Four, a son. And you can put that in the order you want to. I'm not trying to show importance. Just giving you some different roles that a person lives or cherish or carries. But after carrying all those roles, you learn certain things in all of them. As a man, you learn to be a man. But a man, just because you're a man, doesn't make you a father. So you learn to be a father. Being a father does not teach you to be a son, because a son is another role. Being a husband is another role. These are all things that we learn in part. And through my life, I would love to continually give back lessons, principles that I give God the glory for. You see, all the happenings of life have not been beautiful, and not even in my own eyes. You know, I mean, in the world, seeing it, they may think that, you know, some people are stronger or some people go through, you know, and it doesn't bother them. But I want to be the first to tell you that no matter how it looks on the outside, the same storms that you face in your day-to-day life, that individual or those individuals that you think have overcome and don't face storms, they still face them. Some of the pain and hurt that came through life, you learned so you would not face it again. And that's the example prodigal son brings to the table. The examples of learning through trial, through error, through tests, through stupidity, through ignorance. But you should have learned something, and we'll start in the beginning. I came to this episode and the title of it, it was called 21. So we'll title this one 21. 21. In the beginning, when God established the heaven and the earth, I want you to recognize what was going on when he said, "Let there be light." Now, I don't know if you're going to take the Bible, the Quran, this book or that book, but in the beginnings of any of those books, there had to be a showing up of God. I don't care what you named him, called him, or put him in. I know what I call him, and I know what his name is revealed to man, but your choice is to have what he's revealed to you. So when God shows himself, we know one thing. That when God steps onto the scene, things change. Whether that's in your life now, or what I'm utilizing it for now, the beginning. It says, God created, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Anyone, we'll stop right there for a second. Anyone that wants to pose a question of, if God created all of this, who created God? I would advise you to look deeper. To ask a question on the other side of God would now enter you into territory that you know not, into a realm of spirituality, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, your inner man. So it is your inner man that bear witness. It's not a natural man that can ask a natural question and get a spiritual answer. You can't. For the flesh and the spirit are enmity between each other. They fight, they war. They don't see things the same way. So if somebody asks the question, if God created all this, who created God? To create is to take nothing and make something. You go off into the recesses of your mind, your thought, your heart. That's why in John chapter 1, you read, it says, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No doctrine here. Put your thoughts on the table right now. How many of your thoughts can you separate from you? You can share them with others. You can talk to others about them, but they will never feel the impact until that thought comes into being, till that thought takes on an identity that they can see, till that thought grows legs. So in the beginning was that thought. You weren't in the mind of God. So to ask who created something that is self-existing, who created the eternal, which has no beginning and the end, who created something that you can't put hands on from nothing, you would be asking yourself or anyone a question that you yourself don't even, you couldn't even understand the answer to it. But when God showed up, it says the earth was without form and void. And even in those times of the earth being without law, and when I say law, I mean the law of God, that God innate and put it in creation, that God put in man from the beginning. The earth was void of it, and it didn't have any form. There was no structure that, should I use, pointed or included or represented God. So God, in his own omnipotence, said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, if we want to go into etymology and we want to go into grammatical examples of the different words and how they're ascribed, think of it on this point. God is eternal. Time has not been established yet. So when God said, "Let there be light," he was speaking over a span. In this span, let there be light. In this establishment of something the world did not know called time, God established light to cover it. Hence, we hear when Jesus comes, he says that light came into the world, but men rather darkness because their deeds were evil. God said, "Let there be light." In the midst of all this darkness, God allowed there be light to be light. And then as we go further, we realize he said, "Let God shine forth." He was that light. So the people that chose or choose in this life to do opposite of what they know, they're sinning, they're missing the mark. But here's the scary part. By this, they are willfully ignorant. There are some things that people choose to be behind and follow after and ignore. Find yourself somewhere. Get right with yourself. And you're right with yourself will get you right with God. Unfortunately, the lives we live and the things we represented, for the most part, to others, will always be what they see us as. Because man looks on the outward, God looks on the heart. So now, in a world without form and void, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Light exposes, light reveals. But light brings something else. Light brings life. Light causes things to begin that can live in the light. Because in darkness, things are born that can only live in the dark. So now there were going to be things that were going to come forth in the natural that ultimately those around could see. Let me repeat that. Those around could see. Because seeing that the earth was without form, that means lawlessness or chaos. And it's in lawlessness and chaos where God said, "Let there be light." Right now we find ourselves in a world of uncertainty, but it didn't happen by mistake. It didn't happen undercover. It's been preached, it's been taught for years. It happened right before us. The miscommunication, the misinformation, it will always lead to something. And this is why I call it 21. Because as God created the heaven and the earth, we see that there was a process, and we see that there were a number of days, and I'm not going to break them all down because they're very, very rich and full of so much life that to get to where we're going, I have to keep going. But as we worked our way down, we realized that the first move that God made was 7 days. 6 in creation, 1 in rest. And we looked, that came in a time of chaos. That came in a time of uncertainty. No direction. Should I say, everyone doing his or her own thing. And it was in that, that right before God rested, he placed a man, he created a man out of something that was already there. He had already established his own material to create that man. Something that was sustained, something that could be replenished over and over and over and over from right here in the earth. He took the natural resources of this creation of his and developed and made a man. Inside of that man, there was the natural elements of dirt, of water. And the two things that were in that man were used to create everything else. Therefore, the other things in life became his vegetation. And God steps in. After he creates that man, he says, everything out here is not for you. So it said he placed the man in a garden that God had created, eastward in Eden. So they say the Garden of Eden, but it was just a small fraction. We don't know much about Eden. We just know that there was a garden in Eden. And that's where God placed Adam. And he gave Adam a charge, and that charge was to keep it and dress it. Keep it and dress it. And today they told us this represented God wanted man to work and everything else, and however that goes on. I want you to remember something else. Up to this point, it hadn't rained. There was only a mist that came up out of the ground to feed and water the things of the ground. Inside of this garden, there were no, at this time, thorns. There were no weeds inside of this garden. So when Adam went in there to keep it and to dress it, he was able to take his characteristics of what God had put in him and apply his touch as he became more and more intimate with the creation of God. And in that creation and in that time that he spent, he began to understand that creation and become a part of him. In doing so, he understood himself. While all the time, God has protected him from certain things. For it talks of the word garden, and that word garden interpreted me hedge, whether metal, wood, bushes, whatever it was, there was a hedge about Adam. And as Adam was in this place by himself, because remember, we've entered, God has already rested. We're in his rest. God is resting. Adam is in his resting. God ceased from work. He's resting. So Adam is operating naturally in all these things. And as time progressed, God said, as he looked at Adam in Adam's heart, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Even in the place that God ordained for him, even in the place that God prepared for him, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So in this rest, God wakes up and does something else. No longer is creation taking place. Now the word make is highlighted, because God causes a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And while Adam is asleep, God removes. And then let's sidetrack here for 1 second. Side note, an operation ensues. God applies, as the world would see it, anesthesia, because a deep sleep comes upon Adam. And as that deep sleep is there, God does something else. God takes a rib out of the side of Adam. And they can talk about which one and how one and whatever else. Not relevant here yet. But in that rib, we learned way before these scientists and the data that they talk about and their microscopes and their research and all. Remember, all research is researching something somebody else said or trying to find someone's error so you can complete a project, find their sin. But let's go right there. God causes a sleep to fall upon Adam. And as that sleep's there, he takes his rib out. And out of that rib, God creates or puts together, makes, builds, forms a woman, a helpmeet for Adam, and brings her to Adam. Adam, oblivious of what God is doing. Adam has no clue on what God is doing. But God saw the heart of that man, realized that as all the animals or whatever passed before Adam, and Adam couldn't find any helpmeet for himself, God stepped in. And I want you to look at your life. When you find yourself in a place where everything you've done to the glory of God, everything that you believe that you've put in effort wise, you've done it all as unto the Lord. But it seems like in it all, there's no peace, there's no joy, there's nothing coming back out of it. God recognized, for God is not slack as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all come unto repentance. You have to create a path long enough to recognize some things. So now God brings, and I'm going to utilize that, now God brings Eve to Adam, and Adam beholds her. And Adam calls her woman. I want you to hear that. Woman. Man with womb. All God established in Adam was man. So now woman has appeared. And Adam validates it by saying, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Everything I'm seeing in her, in this woman, comes from within me. Everything. But why did Adam need to help me? Why was it so important for God to perform this procedure? I'll show you. Hey, look, intermission real quick. I'm going to throw this intermission in there. Look, follow me, share, get on it. You know, share it with your friends. It's for helping of understanding. This is a place where understanding itself is not optional, it's of the utmost importance. So as you listen to the remainder of this that I'm going to continue to share, open your eyes and your heart. See where it applies to you. You're not going to a building. You're not joining a religious organization. You're not even joining a religious church or anything else. But what you're doing is you're becoming one with God as you reflect inward. The prayer that Jesus prayed was, Father, make them one as we are one. Make them one as we are one. So as you allow your brain and your mind and your spirit to just engulf, hopefully some of that will come to resonate within your soul. All right, now back to 21. Part two. So when God causes a sleep to fall upon Adam and he himself recognizes that God had done something, because God had sealed the incision up, God had taken a rib out of his body, and inside of that rib, we've learned over the years that there's a lot of things such as marrow, DNA, there's a lot of things inside of that bone, inside of that rib, you know, so because we know that, we know that everything that was in Adam was in Eve. Okay, and God says, it's not good for man to be alone. So in his loneliness, there must have become the need for physical touch in this earth. Let's eliminate everybody saying that I just want to be with God as I walk in your stubbornness, for it is God that said it's not good for man to be alone. So if you find yourself in an area of life where you just want to walk alone, be alone, and do everything alone, check yourself, because there's danger in being alone. Here's where Eve comes into play. The word helpmeet meant aid or protector. There must have been threat to the safety and the sanctity of Adam because he needed Eve. He needed Eve. We're now after God's rest. God has come back from his rest, from making things, from the creative aspect of making things. Because now the things that are in play become a part of our journey. So God, so they can relate, places a tree in the garden. And he tells to that man prior to, he instills it in that man about that tree. Therefore, it was not the man's total responsibility to share to the woman about the tree. Why? Because it was in her. Have you ever felt in your life that, man, I heard this somewhere. It must have been a part of something. It was in your DNA. It was in your ancestry. It was something that processed over time. DNA and what you, your chromosomes and the things that make up who you are in the natural, they deposit thoughts and ideas into your head. So when God shared with Adam prior to Eve's creation about the tree, it would have, by the nature of our creation and the law of the Spirit, would have been in her heart. Because Adam sized her up. He said, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This is my equal. This is my equal." Now we're going into 7 number 2. The second wave comes from the day a stranger shows up. But this stranger that shows up is not a stranger at all, but it's someone, something, an entity that they've heard of. And we'll pause here. Hey, have you ever been struggling on a day-to-day basis? Maybe with your wife, maybe with your husband, maybe with your pastor, maybe with on your job. Remember to always find refuge in God. How do you do that? We have to think upon the things when life hits us. There's an old saying, or not old saying, new saying, I don't know what it is, but there's a saying that says, you know, if life gives you lemon, make lemonade and all that. I'm going to share, I want something just like that in your life. When life spits out things at you, resonate, reflect, go back inward, encourage yourself in what you know to be true. And the one thing that you have in your life is your own personal testimony. Whether or not it excites anybody else, or whether or not it brings anybody else to joy, or strengthens or encourages anyone, it strengthens and encourages you. So I say, if you find yourself today, change your own reality right now. Think upon the things you know, and I guarantee you they'll put a smile on your face. All right, part 3. In this chaotic world that exists outside of the garden that God has set up eastward in Eden and placed man inside of, and now inside of that garden, God has created and formed a woman just as he did man. But from the bone of man. So what happened? The chaos always will seep into, or attempt to seep into, what it sees that God is doing. And just the mere question that came from the outside, or the question that came to Eve as she sat there, wherever it may have been, which in so many scriptural different points, it says that it would have been outside of the garden or at the door. So many different scriptural points that bring that out. That as the enemy conversated with Eve, it represents them first. God wants you to know who your enemy is first. So no matter what your religious background, no matter what your thought is, we like to title who it is we find to be our enemy. We like to talk about and know some characteristics about that individual or thing. You don't want to always, that's why everyone is without excuse. I'm going to utilize the scriptures, but these scriptures are applicable to your life as well. So let's talk. It says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. That subtle means cunning, crafty, wise, pretty much in salesmanship. Know how to get away. Of any beast of the field. Now, if you look at the beast of the field, it didn't say that they were stupid, ignorant. He just said he was wiser. So much that he was able to get to Eve. To ask a question. Recognize your enemy will always approach you with a stumbling block. Your enemy will always approach you with a setup. Your enemy will always approach you with something that brings your pride to the forefront. And in this case, he asked, has God not said? Pride makes us want to represent God to the fullest because our heart is in this. And sometimes our pride will do exactly as scripture warned us. For pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Two things. Pride will lead to your destruction. A haughty spirit will cause you to fall. So here Eve responds, hath not God said that you may freely eat of every tree of the garden? And instead of whatever else there was available, for however he asked that question, it was in a subtle state that almost demanded an answer. So Eve speaks. True, but of the tree of the knowledge, which is in the midst of the garden, God said we can't eat it or touch it. Now, a lot of people will play words and shifting and all that. But remember that the laws of God that followed had not been applied. This was Eve's first encounter that we can recall. So Eve, in her position or role that God had put her in, responded. And in your response, remember, you're defending God. So if you're going to put yourself in a position to try to defend God, you now step in as God. Remember that question we asked in the beginning? If God created all this or God created you, who created God? When you start to answer for God, you make it as if you created God. So therefore, God becomes what the world has tried to make it be in so many people, a figment of your imagination, because now you are no longer looking to God because you're going to answer for God. So Eve said, God said, yeah, we can eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree which is in the midst of the garden, we can't eat nor touch it, lest we die. So what did the enemy take on that? All right, Eve, you're on point. True. But I'm going to tell you why. You see, someone else came to explain God's motive. And in your life, you watch so many other people try to explain what's going on. You watch so many other people try to tell you what it is that is going on in your world and why God allowed it to happen. When you yourself, if you take a step back, you'll remember that your relationship with God, your experience with God, your attachment to God is so much greater than the law of God. Why? Because after man falls, after man disobeys God, after, it says, huh, she starts to reason. Why? Because she stood in as God. So now she's making the decision. Huh, well, it is good. It looks good. Hey, I am hungry. And matter of fact, it can give me back vitality. It can bring back my enlightenment. It can help me see things that I once didn't see. So yeah, I'll eat it. I'll eat it. And once I eat it and I don't die, I'll give to my husband who's right here with me. And he did eat. Now that they've eaten, it says that their eyes were opened and they recognized or realized that they were naked. Whenever you go beyond your relationship, whenever you try to find out something that comes from your mind versus from your experience, which is grounded in your faith. See, your faith is based upon your experience, what you've allowed to take place in your life, the wars, the battles, the struggles, the accomplishments, whatever. Your faith is established and built in that. But when their eyes were open, it says they saw that they were naked and hid themselves and sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Your enemy will always point out the obvious. The only thing that changes about the obvious is your relation to God. The only thing that changes about your obvious is where you are with God. Chapter 2, prior to them eating, the end says, and they were naked and not ashamed. The both of them, the man and his wife, were naked and not ashamed. Obvious. Now they're naked. They recognize it. They cover themselves. Now we're going into 7, part 2. Because in the cool of the evening, God shows up again. Remember, in creation, in the beginning, it says, the Spirit of the Lord, it hovered upon the deep, the dark places. So now the light in this world, or God's presence, has been hindered. His light inside of man, because man, something happened. And what reveals to man that something transpired in his positioning as we enter into this next 7. We'll see, and we see that God came looking for his man who was now in that darkness because of disobedience. God calls out, Adam, where are you? Remember, sin separates you from God. Sin is a missing of the mark. Sin will always lead you down a path because it's the missing of a mark that God is not on. Therefore, even though you may be moving and swaying and doing everything that you think you can do in that path, it does not make it the will of God. It does not make it the path that leadeth unto everlasting life. Because on that road, you're in control. So God calls Adam, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, I hid myself. Here I am, Lord. I hid myself because I was naked. When a man recognizes himself, his first impulse is to run and hide because he's ashamed. When man is not where he's supposed to be, he starts to look at God as another mere man, believing that something that's in his world can be hidden from what God is able to see. Hence, we know David said, if I ascend to the mountaintop, if I make my bed in hell, if I take the wings of an eagle, if I go to the east, west, you're there. Adam, who told you you were naked? Who told you that you were naked? What changed, Adam?
What change? I need you to tell me. Why? Because you're in this world. Now you're in accountability place. You're in a place of accountability. Why? Because we had a relationship. And the one connecting unit between us, you violated. But I got to know, who told you that you were naked? Key word, naked. Nakedness brings shame. Your view of your nakedness brings shame. God's view of your nakedness is based in love. For God sees you as you really are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. Adam, you dropped something. Who told you? You believed someone other than what I told you. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Adam, I told you, in the day that you eat from that tree, you'll surely die. There's the stop on eternal life right there. Adam, who told you? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Now that everything comes into play, now that everything is back to reality, God, the woman you gave me, she did give me. I did eat. Your change with me, Adam, came because of something you saw in the natural. So you're thinking carnally. You're thinking according to this world. Something in this world changed our relationship. The woman, she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Woman, what have you done? Someone has to stand up. What happened here? And the woman says, the serpent beguiled me. He got me, and I did eat. To beguile is he deceived me. He went around different channels to get me, and he got me. And I did eat. I want you to know that once you recognize your enemy, once you recognize the voice of the one that causes you to be outside of God, you declare it to God. And one chapter in your life is closed to start anew is when that thing that is standing between you and God is revealed. Therefore, God, who said, the battle is not yours, for the battle belongs to the Lord. For the one who said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, will judge that one. So take yours in the second seven that we're going through. Take it as an opportunity to go to God and share whose voice it is that you've listened to. And as God begins to look for a contrite spirit, a repentant spirit, one that is not happy with the era that they have created, those that know that to be with God is much more pleasurable and loving and rewarding than where they are now. So they turn back. They repent. They turn back. They found themselves in a place where they had to come to themselves. And that came via being honest with God. They didn't go find a man out in this chaotic world outside of the garden, or a person outside of the garden to go have this conversation with and this dialogue and ultimately redemption. They took it to God. And I say to you, don't cast your pearl before swine. And this is just walking to this far. But God had already started another plan. For God
made them garments or clothing or coverings out of animal skin. And in order to get the skin off the animal, we know it has to be a sacrifice. And we know that right along with that, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That blood had to be applied. Why? Because pure blood, clean blood, honest blood in those animals, there was no guile inside of those animals. There was no envy and everything else. They ate the ground. They weren't even carnivores. So they were still, you know, very, very sensitive. And inside of their blood that covered it was the real presence of God. So God covered them. If we give that as an example, we can talk about Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. Pure, untainted blood, sinless blood. So now God covers them. Prior to the covering, three things took place. Man, you got to work. I'm going to put some resistance to you in this earth. The things that weren't there in the garden, you will now face. The things that were outside of the garden have now entered in. So you'll have to struggle with those. The peace and comfort that you felt in tending to the garden will be changed by sweat and heartache and pain, you know, through the struggle each day. And to the woman, because of this fall, you were a man built with a womb. Woman, man with womb. So prior to this fall, God in his omniscient mind and God in his omnipotent strength and God without end and beginning, he says, already has it taken care of. Why? Because you'll be that vessel, the channel in which life will come through. Adam deemed you mother of all living already in prior chapter. So we know life is going to come through you to a point. To a point. And as that life come through you, something's going to come through you. And I'll tell you, he's going to bruise his head, the serpent, and the serpent will bruise his heel. Something's going to come through you, Eve. In the process of time, just listen. You're going to travail. There's going to be pain in the process of bringing forth. You go ahead and take care of that. And I'm summing it up. Because your desire, you won't have to watch the door no more. You won't have to watch the gate no more. But your desire shall be to your husband. And he shall rule over you. Let's fix that word. He shall govern over you. He shall be spiritually alert and spiritually alive to govern you. As you and your children make way in this earth. Because there are prophets coming through. There are martyrs coming through. There are kings coming through. There are queens coming through. There are so many coming through. But ultimately, Messiah, the Redeemer, is coming through. So your husband, he's going to rule. Let him. He's going to govern. He's going to be in tune with me. And your desire is going to be to him. Why? Because you need to know what thus saith the Lord for your children in this earth, to guide them in this earth. So he has to govern. But to the serpent, here's where we are. On your belly, you're going to go. In that, just the description of what transpired and what was the judgment upon this serpent being, excuse me, it tells me that there was something different about him that God will reveal in daytime and time. I'm not going to speculate. But if you look at it, now God is working on the next seven. Judgment has already happened up to that point. Because what happened, even after all of that and God covered them, he still told them, you got to leave out of the garden. He expelled them. And so much so that he put an angel there with a flaming sword to protect the way of them getting to the tree of knowledge. As the second seven begins, we find hurt, pain,
loneliness, hurt, pain, and loneliness.
Hey, look, I'm sitting here. This is a pause. I'm going to get back into it. But I'm sitting here, you know, as I go along and telling you all about this and sharing this with you. It's not ever to demean, diminish, break down, show myself or whatever. It's always for the whole. Prodigal Son's ministry has always been for the whole. We don't have any financial support. Never have. Tried to make it day by day. Getting the word to people so they can change their own reality from where they are. As you change your reality, you would be living in the present as God is in the present. You will be living in the state of am, because you will be facing the struggles and the temptations and the trials of the day head on. Changing our reality. And then as you face your struggles, as you face what it is your life presents to you, as your reality changes, you'll help somebody else. And your little part will help somebody else. And ultimately, each little part will contribute to the salvation of the whole. Changing our reality where wisdom is our guide to understanding. And understanding is not optional. Part three, or whatever part it is, I'm just rolling on. So I said in the last part that it would be with misery and it was a lonely place because they had been expelled. What gave me that is when Eve was happy and said, I have gotten a man from God. A man faced it, a man. And his name was Cain. In Cain, we're now entering into the results or the reaping or the effect of Adam and Eve. And this was Cain and his relationship with his mother and father by himself. Cain feeling as he's the blessing from God, because mother says, it's a man. God has given me a man. And Cain, just as the enemy in the beginning, his characteristics and everything are in him. They come from mom and dad. So now when his brother comes around and does something different, because she gets another son, his name's Abel, Cain has some type of animosity toward him. Remember, when Adam and Eve were naked, they were not ashamed. They moved harmoniously and they moved as one unit. But when they saw the differences in themselves, the differences in ourselves, the differences between us, when they saw the differences, that materialism, that physical jealousy had now entered into their child. Because as Abel, over the process of time, gave unto God what he saw fit, Cain, in giving unto God what he saw fit, has now started to become jealous, because he feels as though God is accepting Abel over him. But what does God do again? He tells Cain. He don't have to make Cain. He don't have to just, you know, kind of entice or show Cain little other ways or whatever what he's doing. He told him straight on, Cain, why are you wroth? Why are you upset? Why is your countenance falling? What are you looking at, Cain? What on the outside is bringing the inside down? Cain, why is your countenance falling? You know, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If not, something's pushing you in the wrong direction. Something's trying to make you go down a different road. Something is. Sin lies at the door. And he desires to have you. and you should be ruling over him. Because you know what to do, Cain. Everything that's going on inside of you is reflective of what we can see. And since you're living in a world now of seeing is believing, don't forget that what you see, in the most part, was created by a desire or something that's going on inside of you. And whatever's going on inside of you, you should rule over it. If you do not rule over it, you will miss the mark. And in his logic, and in his pride, he goes forward and kills his brother. When something is going wrong, something is going on in your life, God will make you aware of it. You. I don't care who else is aware of it. I don't care what else in the world people say, I didn't see it, I didn't know. It wasn't up to them. You knew. And it was given to you for you to do something with it. And if by his grace and mercy, you still have an opportunity now to do something with it, do something with it. If you don't help somebody else to do something with their what they're facing, and peradventure, God will grant you that opportunity again. But judgment has to come again. And if we look at it, they just keep getting further and further away from the tree of life. God sets a mark upon Cain, and Cain goes into the land of Nod, which is considered the land of wandering. God sent him out there. Now you're out there in the darkness, Cain. Now you have to figure it out for yourself. And you have to figure it out for yourself in the state that you're in. Because you missed the mark. And you will walk in that era until the day comes, God peradventure, you come to yourself. Now that doesn't happen for everybody. And only that individual will be able to answer that anyway when it happens. So that's the personal effect of God's relationship and God's drawing to you. But in this second seven, you see, they called it dispensations. They called it, you know, judgment. But watch it. It's not that. It's not a dispensation, which is in a period of time in which God deals with man that always ends in judgment. No, no, no. When God sent Cain into the land of Nod, God sent Cain on a journey. Cain still knew God. Cain still talked to God. God still protected Cain. God still influenced others about who Cain was, because he said if any man kills him, God was going to require that of him. So if you look at it, Cain, though wandering, still had the opportunity, but he was in darkness. And while Cain is out there trying to find his way, God gives Eve another son and called his name Seth and said he was in the stead of Abel. Cain is wandering in the darkness. Seth comes into play. And as Seth goes on, there is no more creation. There are no more things coming up out of the earth to bud. There are no more animals being, you know, wondrously and gloriously created. But all man has now, as Seth ventures off, is their understanding of God. What do they do with the knowledge that they have of God? That's where they are. So man begins to go on. Now we get a closer look of what was in the earth at the time. It said there were giants in the earth and the sons of God.
You look up the term giants, we know that means celebrity, that means well-off, that means people of power who are esteemed. They have a voice in the earth. That's what giants were. You know, we don't go out there and look for 10 and 12 foot tall people, but we look at what giants really are. And if we apply that understanding to our day, we'll understand it the same way, that those who have established some type of celebrityism in the eyes of people, their voice, their opinion, their ideology usually rules the world. So I'll say that. If you want to know where we are, you look at who's talking, who told you that where we are. But if you look in the earth, it says that there were other things. And these things are the things and people and entities were those that were outside of the garden. Because remember, we're outside of it now. So the things that we're running into were already out there. They're not new. Adam and Eve having daughters and Seth having daughters and the things that are on the outside are now marrying into. Now you see the motive of the enemy from the beginning. Why? To seep into, to contaminate, to hurt, to infect God's people. But now, as that goes on, man starts to do whatever it is he or she or they can begin to do. Anything that comes to their mind. So much so, they were already out there. So much so that God said it repents him that he made what? Made man. Man. It repented him. He made man. And I want to say to anyone out there, that when you see it repented God that he made man, he's hurt. He's hurt. Not hurt as if you are, or to the degree that you are when you're hurt, but hurt only the way God can be. And it's at that point that we hear a new word come into play. God wants to destroy them all, wipe them all fresh out, get them all out of there. But grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Second seven. God went in the garden looking for Adam, a garden that was created in a world of chaos, world of darkness. And when that light dimmed out in Adam, God came looking for him. Time goes on. Cain, you're going into a land of wandering. I'm setting a mark on you because you still know me. The light will still be out there. But you're going into a land of wandering. Your spirit is, you know me. Your spirit is just not of me. Seth, you're now introduced into the world. Now that knowledge that Cain had and that knowledge of what Cain did is now in you, Seth. Now you see the era of another's way, and I want you to travel. But Cain is on the outside, and they're on the outside of the garden, and all this is going on, the mixing and the matching and taking and doing, everything void of God, that God said, I'm going to destroy it all. But his eyes are running to and fro in the earth still, and Noah finds grace in the eyes of God. At the end of this one, God said, Noah, build you an ark. I'm about to flood the earth. Noah, build you a refuge. And because I'm the one that's going to bring this flood, I'm going to explicitly and in detail tell you how to save yourself and your family. The grace that Noah found was only fulfilled in Noah's listening. Adam, who told you? Noah, you saved yourself. Who told you? The difference in salvation and destruction, the difference is who are you listening to?
My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. It's a lot. And we're going to pause it here because we have one more seven to go through that God hasn't given me yet. I got the first two. But PSMCOR is dedicated to that, helping you see that your reality can change, that you can lay down the old and pick up the new, that you can be born again of the water and of the spirit. That's what makes you up. Both parts. Every aspect of you can be renewed. But you have to ask yourself, who told you? What do you believe? Who told you? Why do you believe it? Who told you? What have you learned through life already that may affirm or disaffirm some of the things you stand on? Remember, you're walking the road that you're walking. And the things that you believe and the things that you use in your life are the tools that came along your journey to help you make it one more day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will not sit here and take thought for tomorrow because I got to take care of today, the present. The best way to be in that state of am is to know who you are in God. God created you for His purpose. His purpose. And what was His purpose? For you to live. For you to live. It's man that threw in all these complications, these changes, this confusion. And I would beg you to don't give up on God or throw God to the wayside in your mind and in your life to whatever degree He's relevant because of something a man done. Don't do it. For your strength only comes through God. For it is the joy of the Lord that is your strength. We have people running all around today trying to make it about them, that they have the answer when they're not even following along what God is saying to them. They rehearse it into their own ideas. They narrate it, they edit it to be what they want it to be, as if they're news anchors or something. You know, they really feel like, you know, they're the mouthpiece for God. Don't let them lead you astray. You lean on what it is that God gave you. We have classes coming up. I have an Enlightened Relationship course coming up. And it's hard to convey to the world just by a post. It's hard to convey to people the necessity and the benefit of this class, this workshop that I teach. Because your relationships in this world do affect your relationship and relationship in the other world. Just join me to go forward, because it's going to get a lot darker before it gets lighter in this world of confusion. I'll give you one more scripture. It says, because sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Sin, missing of the mark, misinformation, incorrectness. Because that's so much incorrectness and missing of the mark going on around, your love that you once had for your fellow man, a fellow woman, or for God is growing cold. Buy the truth and sell it not. Hey, that's what we're here for. We're not trying to proselyte, bring people outside of their organizations or whatever. But this message will always be, for whosoever will, let him come. Hey, PSMCOR, I'm glad to have done this today. Love y'all, and please, you know, share it, support it, live it. Also, I need messages. If there's something that you have a concern about or something that we're speaking on that you don't fully pick up or understand, pose the question and we'll address it, and hopefully we can come to an understanding together.
That's our aim. Because you hold certain pieces to this puzzle as well. And I know that if we come into contact, it was ordained of God, for the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. It didn't say your steps would be given of the Lord. They're already there. And because we met, or because we're communicating, you would have to say the same. All right, please. Don't be shy. Don't worry about the challenges of the questions or whatever. Just share them with me, and I will address them. And hopefully, we can all rejoice together and hear these eternal echoing words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. PSMCOR. We're on every platform. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Hey, if you could help out in any way, form, or fashion, help. I mean, again, from the beginning, it's a one-man show. Well, not really a one-man show. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and more are they that be with us than are against us. All right. Love y'all. Keep it up. In Jesus' name. Amen.